We are joined by the third from Team Cooey, Mark Kennedy, fresh off a Breyer win. Mark, congratulations, my man. Welcome back to the show. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good, Jason. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Hey,
it's been, an exciting couple days.
Hey, did you get any sleep yet?
Nope.
Okay, I like that. Now, you've played curling for a long, long time. Have you ever had a measurement like you had in the last end against Jacobs?
Nope. No, we talked about it after. I said, I don't think that's ever happened. I've never seen that before, never been a part of it before. So that was, that's about as exciting as it gets for the sport of curling.
Did you think it was in before they measured?
I did. I've been telling people it was probably 75-25 that it was in. We actually got fortunate in the end before Ben Hebert threw a guard. And if a guard might be in the rings, you can measure it. Because if it's in, the other team can hit it. And when I looked at it, I thought Ben's was out. And when we measured it, it actually ended up being in the rings.
Okay.
So now when I got to look at the one in the 10th end, it was further in than Ben's guard was. So I had a pretty good feeling that as long as the rings and the measuring stick were on, then that it would be in. And we got lucky.
Well, you know, good to be lucky. Lucky to be good, obviously. The Jacobs rink, I guess, when you're the strategy of where that rock was the unique part of how that end was played. Because if you didn't think it was in, you're like, well, we don't need to worry about it. But I'm guessing there really wasn't much they could do to try to eliminate that rock and get themselves in a position not to give up too.
Yeah, it's a good point. I think we ended up playing the end as though it was in. And I think in the back of their minds, they knew it as well. And it did kind of dictate how the end would go. And we actually played a couple shots basing on that rock being in the ring. So it was a very unique situation. You don't see that very often, especially in a really tight game, the way that one was going. So, but you know what, in the sport, sometimes you got to get a little bit lucky. Like you said, lucky to be good, good to be lucky, but you definitely need some breaks to win an event like that. And we got them on Saturday for sure.
Many people who have played, and you've played in a lot of Breyer fields, mentioned this was the best field they've been a part of. And sometimes in sports we say that because that's the one that's most fresh in our mind, right?
Yeah.
You've won three before. Was this significantly harder, or are they all equally difficult?
No, I mean, they're all hard in their own way. But when you look at quality of field, this was the hardest by far. There was not one easy game for us the whole entire week. Even the game that we thought might be a little easier. It wasn't, you know, New Brunswick ended up putting up a heck of a good fight all week. No, that was the hardest thing we've ever done in curling for sure. It was mentally grueling, physically grueling. You had to play so well every game. I've never been a part of a competition that strong. And we just got rolling at the right time. And, you know, you've been around sports long enough to know that a team can get hot at funny times. And that's what happened to us. And Kevin played so good starting on about Thursday. We just felt like we had a good chance as long as he was playing that good. And I think that confidence just went all the way through the lineup, and it worked out for us.
Well, yeah, definitely worked out well for your group. And unique that, you know, all guys have won three, but, you know, really at different years.
Yeah, we've been all over the map. And we knew when we put the team together that it had strong potential. But we've actually really become a team over the past 6 months. And I think that's been the difference in getting us over the hump. But our experience, so, you know, you can't put a price tag on experience. And we've all won Breyer Finals and lost Breyer Finals. And I think that really helped us going into these last three big games.
Mark Kennedy, third for the Team Cooey Rink, joined us. They victorious. Now you're coming back. I guess that's a big relief with the new rules in place. You'll be back to defend your title next year.
Yeah, it's exciting. You know, you don't realize how much is on the line in that game. You try not to think about it, and then once you win it, you know, you have invites to the Continental Cup and back to the Breyer next year, so we don't have to play provincials, and you get to wear the maple leaf and all the good things that usually come with winning something big. So we're extremely excited and looking forward to getting that maple leaf back on our back.
Now, what about not playing provincials? Can that be a negative in the sense, because that really gets you sharp and ready to go, or is there still enough tournaments, do you feel, that you can be sharp, or is that maybe the only potential small negative?
Yeah, and you know what, that can be a negative. I think provincials this year really prepared us well for the Breyer. It got us in that mind frame of, you know, it's a little bit different in a cash spiel situation compared to a sudden death provincial. So that might be a little bit of a negative. But as we get a little bit older here, not having to play in those tough events, we might be a little more refreshed going into a Brier. So the good with the bad, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Yeah. When you, you know, you look back in Jacobs to run the table 11-0 in that field, you know, that was unbelievable. And really, you know, it's a game of inches, and I'm sure disappointing for him. He'd much rather go 9-2 and then win in the playoffs and go 11-2 and lose two games in the playoffs for sure. When you see a team that's rolling like that, and then they had lost they lost in the 1-2 page game. So now they go to the semifinals. Is there in curling at all? Maybe they feel vulnerable. Do you feel that in curling?
Yeah. You know what? I don't remember that feeling often in the past, but now that the teams are so close and there's so much parity, sometimes that's the difference, is whether a team is playing loose or playing a little tight, you know, whether you can sense some vulnerability or not. And I think that might have happened this week. You know, Jacobs was rolling along so good. They haven't had the best season, but I think they felt like they were unbeatable. And then when they lost that 1-2 game, I think they were just a little bit tight in that semifinal. And they let us off the hook a couple times, which they might not have done earlier in the week. You can definitely sense that, especially as the games get bigger. And I think I could sense with us that we were actually enjoying ourselves. And, you know, we enjoyed playing a bit of an underdog role coming out of the 3-4 game. And it served us well, because the semi and final, I think Brad Jacobs and Brad Gushue both played a little bit nervous and a little tight, and we definitely did not.
You know, now you've won and you've lost Briars, and you've played big games, and you know, people be like, well, how do you still get tight? Like, that's not, you can't really, you can try to untighten yourself, I guess, but can you talk about how, even though you know you shouldn't play tight, how sometimes you just find yourself as a group or an individual playing tight?
Well, I think you want to win so bad that's that sense of doubt and, you know, oh, I really don't want to lose. There's almost a fear of losing because you want it so bad. And that fear can lead to some anxiety and tightness, because you just really don't want to lose. You hate that feeling. And sometimes that's a tough one to overcome, especially when the event is this big. Yeah, it's big for us too financially, right? I mean, we're not making millions of dollars here, but to win a Brier is $250,000. Like, that's a big payday for the four of us. So that can make you tight as well, because you know what's on the line. But as having that experience of not being afraid to lose, I think allows you to play a lot looser, and you know, you can kind of go after it rather than trying to hang on to it, if that makes any sense.
You know, it totally does, and I get it. Now, you are the last country announced as who is going to represent your country. I know the Swedish skip, he was already in there watching, because there's a big tournament coming up that's going to involve a lot of those teams. So do you feel, by being the closest one, that, you know, it's fresh in your mind now, can you run off of that experience based on your past? Like, I don't know, does Canada always finish late? You know, are they always the last country to just play out that way this year?
Yeah, no, that's pretty standard. We're usually the last country selected, and we're always going to go in as the favorite. But it's a very deep field. A lot of these teams do play in Canada most of the season, so we know them really well. And it's good. And I think Canadian curling does that on purpose. They want their hot team going basically back-to-back. They don't want a lot of time between events, so you can kind of stay on that role. And, you know, it's certainly worked. It's worked for Canada in the past, so I don't see that changing anytime soon.
One last one for you. The World Championships, well, Canada, you know, the strength of the field in Canada is arguably tougher than the strength of the World Championships. Is there a fatigue factor mentally at all, like, to get yourself to kind of get ready to crawl back up that mountain again? How difficult is that?
Yeah, well, we haven't done it in a while, but I think it is difficult. Like, I'm exhausted right now. I'm worn out. You know, I got no voice left. I feel like we just went 12 rounds with a heavyweight champ. And we only got 2 weeks before we got to head over to Switzerland. So we got to refresh here and try to prepare ourselves again, because I imagine the Worlds will feel a lot like the Brier did. It's a long week, lots of big games, lots on the line. So I think the mental fatigue is probably more important than the physical preparation.
Mark Kennedy, third for Team Cooey. Now, of course, Team Canada fresh off their Brier victory yesterday, 9-5 over the Brad Gushue rink. You've played all over the world. Is ice different at all in Switzerland compared to Canada?
Well, it's one place I've never been, so we'll see. But our second, Brent Lang, actually won the Worlds in 2012 in the same arena in Basel, Switzerland. So, you know, he'll be a good resource for us. But thankfully, most of our big events have the same ice makers.
Okay.
You know, we deal with three or four ice makers around the world. We get very accustomed to what their ice conditions are like. Hans Wuthrich is going to be the ice maker in the Worlds, and we're very familiar with his ice. He did the ice at the Olympics in Vancouver in 2010. So we have a pretty good idea what to expect. And sounds like a pretty new, modern building, so it should have all the capabilities to make perfect ice. So I don't think we see too many concerns in that direction.
Now, are his ice surfaces that he makes, are there small differences in you know, the other top two or three ice makers?
Yeah,
and if so,
yeah,
what are they?
There are, you know, certain guys have certain tendencies. You know, Hansi's ice is usually a little bit straighter than some of the guys we have here in Canada. Speed can be a very similar thing depending on who your ice maker is. You know, we just had Dave Merklinger at the Brier, and he usually makes a little bit quicker ice. So there's little things that you can pick up on. And Hansi's always made really good ice. He's one of the original great ice makers. So he can, you know, whatever the building is, we know we're going to end up with good ice. So hopefully it's the same.
Okay. It is interesting. Now, straight ice or faster ice, Mark, like, do you play better on one or the other?
Yeah, well, you know, when you get to the elite level of curling, the more curl, the better.
Okay.
We don't want to see real straight ice. Straight ice ends up, you know, you lose a little bit of the skill. It allows the, I got to be careful with my words here, but a weaker team would have a better chance against a good team on straight ice.
Ah, that's interesting. So basically I would have a good chance is what you're saying.
Yeah, you'd have a great chance on dead straight ice, yeah. Well, it happened last week at the Brier. The ice was getting fairly straight because the rocks get polished and they get straighter as the week goes on. So, but in the middle of the week, they actually had to touch them up with a little bit of sandpaper to get more curl as a request for the players because we all want to see more curl. So,
yeah.
And the more curl, the better entertainment for the fans because you can bury around guards and you can make all types of great shots. So that's usually our main focus is getting lots of curl.
Well, so instead of more cowbells, it should just be the cheers of more curl and curling.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
I love it.
We need more curl.
Yeah, we need it. I love it. We're all over that. Well, Mark, congratulations, Alberta. Right now, you win the Brier, you win the Scotties. I think that's three Briers in a row now for Alberta, killing it right now. It's definitely the best province when it comes to curling, so represent the country well. Enjoy a few weeks off.
Yeah, will do. Thanks a lot, Jason. Thanks for your time, bud. I appreciate it.
You bet.